There was this guy who was starting to walk into his favorite watering hole. And as he was in the parking lot, he noticed a $20 bill laying on the ground. He picked it up and was trying to think, golly, what should I do? What would be the right thing to do here? What would be the moral thing to do here? And he wasn't a Christian, but he did go to Bible school way decades ago. And he thought, golly, well, let me think, what would Jesus do? And so as he thought back to his Bible school lessons, he picked one out and he thought, okay, now I know. Here's what I'll do. I remember this story of Jesus in the Bible. I'm going to turn this $20 bill into wine. Well, I don't think that really represents Jesus' first miracle very well. But you remember the event, don't you? During the wedding in Cana in Galilee, at Mary's request, his mom, Jesus transforms 120 gallons approximately of water into wine. And I think even people who don't know that much about the Bible, maybe like the guy we just talked about, most people know about that miracle. He just didn't know it correctly, I guess. That's the thing. So I want to start off today's message of rereading that event from that wedding celebration. It's from John chapter 2, and it's the first 11 verses. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. Well, the wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "Hey, they have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Standing nearby were six stone water jars for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Well, Jesus told the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And when the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of the ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over and said, "A host always serves the best wine first, and then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." And John finishes this part of the story. This miraculous sign in Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. I think I would too. Well, today is another sermon in the God and Country series. We just read about in the Bible of Jesus turning water into wine, and yet the song we heard was by T. Graham Brown about doing the reverse. Now, I'm just curious, how many have ever heard of T. Graham Brown or any of his songs? Okay, we have more than I thought. Okay, I had never really heard of him, but I listened to one of the Sirius XM radio stations that plays 80s and 90s country. I listened to some other stations as well, but that's one I like really well. And back in September, I think it was, I heard that song and I thought, oh my golly, that's got to be one of the songs for this God and Country series. Now, obviously, Aaron was able to play the song for us. You can find it on YouTube, Wine Into Water. But make sure you put in, if you're searching for it, T. Graham Brown, because there's another more current song, and his song was from 1998. In 2023, just a couple years ago, actually, Morgan Wallen came out with a song of the same title, but it's a totally different song and a totally different message. So search for T. Graham Brown for sure. You heard the lyrics being sung, but let me read them to you. This guy starts out saying this, and it's a song, but it's kind of like this guy's prayer. He says, "You've heard a multitude of prayers on my behalf. I pray one more is not too much to ask. I've tried to fight this battle by myself, but it's a war that I can't win without your help. Tonight, I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't go much farther. As I interpret the song, it's like this is a song about people in this person's life praying for his addiction to end. But it's also about the person himself calling on God directly for help because he's hit rock bottom. And it's due to what we'll learn is an addiction, and specifically to alcohol. And now he's calling on God for help. Well, the lyrics continue with this. He says, and once upon a time, here he goes. He remembers this Sunday school lesson. And once upon a time, you turned water into wine. And now I'm on my knees and I'm turning to you, Father. Could you help me turn the wine back into water? Seems like this guy knows his Bible, or at least this one story in the Bible. He remembers the miracle of God turning water into wine. And now in this odd twist, he's asking for just the opposite to be done. The lyrics go on to say this. So many times, he says, I've hurt the ones I love. I pushed them to the edge of giving up. They've stood beside me, but how much can they stand if I don't put this bottle in your hands? He realizes, maybe for the very first time, just how much he's hurt the ones he loves. He realizes he's brought unimaginable pain to his family. But he also says he's bottomed out. He's bottomed out. You know, sometimes no matter what the issue is, and we know sin is the thing that brings us down. Sin causes us to hit bottom. And sometimes that sin is alcohol, but many times it's 100 other things. And sometimes we think bottom is here until we know rock bottom is here. Well, continuing with the lyrics, as he really continues with his prayer, he repeats once again, once upon a time, you turned the water into wine, and now I'm on my knees. I'm turning to you, Father. Could you help me turn the wine back into water? I'm guessing he's prayed before. I'm guessing he's prayed a lot of times before. But he seems to be praying differently this time. He's on his knees, maybe like never before. And as he's prayed in the past, he's not prayed like this. Because I bet he's prayed in the past, God, don't let me be pulled over by law enforcement as I leave the bar heading home. I bet he's prayed for the boss not to fire him for coming into work drunk again. And I bet he's prayed that the judge wouldn't suspend his driver's license. But this prayer is different. Not only is it for himself, I believe he's praying for the effect, a positive effect on his whole family. He's wanting freedom from this addiction once and for all. He's saying, I believe this, Jesus, you are a greater power than myself. And since you have the power to turn water into wine, I'm asking you to use that same power to turn the wine back into water for me. And I just want to stop here and remind us of something. And I know I've mentioned this dozens of times at least. I put it on Facebook off and on. At the Kennard Church, every Thursday night at 7:30 is an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's been going on for a little over 10 years now. You all know that I've been going to a bar in Shirley, Ben's, for as of next month, it'll be 8 years that I've been going there, just hanging out with folks. And not everybody at Ben's is an alcoholic. Let me just say that, number one. So I never want that to be the issue. And I've seen people drink beer or drink other alcohol and still not seem drunk. But that's a different thing. When I started, before I started going to Ben's, I actually started going to the AA meeting at Kennard because they invited me to come once they had open meetings, meaning anybody, whether you had a problem with alcohol or not, you could come to the meeting. And they said, we'd like to have you there just to listen. And I'm so glad I did, because I learned to love those alcoholics. The ones that were in the midst of it and hitting rock bottom, as well as the ones who 40 or 50 years ago had found sobriety and had stayed sober. One of the things I learned as being part of listening to the AA people talk is alcohol can be viewed by people in two different ways. For many people, it's a beverage choice. And for other people, it's a drug. And they can't stop once they start. So that's the two things that are different. Now, something else I learned being part of the AA meetings is how much they love each other. And I think churches should be a lot, congregations should be a lot like AA members, where when someone comes in at rock bottom, they welcome them with open arms and say, "We're here to help you any way we can. And we've got a program, we've got a plan here that we'll go through, and we'll walk with you step by step through the plan." So that's all good. And for those that are sober for decades, that reinforces the fact that the people that are new to AA can have some hope. But here's one thing I really love about AA. Somebody has been sober for a couple years. They've been going through the program, and then they slip. You know what they do? You know what the AA people do? They start the meeting by saying, "Does anyone need a start over token?" And when somebody says, "I do, I slipped last week," they give them a token and everybody's in full support again. You know what Christians do sometimes? "I slipped," and then everyone's pointing a finger of condemnation. And I don't like that part. So I hope we can see some really positive things about AA. Well, that's enough of my AA announcement and commercial, I guess. Here's how the song finishes. The man in the song says, "I shook my fist at heaven for all the hell that I've been through. Now I'm begging for forgiveness and a miracle from you." And he goes on to say, "I'm down and I can't fall much farther. I'm as low as any man can go." You know how low you can go? I don't know how low I can go. I don't know if I've ever hit rock bottom with certain things. But I can tell you there's people we know in our lives who have, and there's people that we know from the Bible who have kind of hit rock bottom in life or with their anger or frustration with God. So let me quickly share with you some people in the Bible whose names you will know who got so angry with God they were shaking their fists at heaven too. Jonah's the first one. We all know about Jonah and the big fish, but do we know that Jonah's original mission from God was to say, "I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to, because these people are evil." I mean, these people were horrifically evil. If you can imagine anybody doing things to a human being that would be horrible, take it times 10, and that's the Ninevites. And they were enemies of Jonah and his people. And yet God says, "Jonah, you as a prophet, I want you to take the word of God to the Ninevites and tell them this: unless you repent, God is going to come and destroy you all." Well, Jonah was all behind that because once he got back out of the fish, I guess. He was all behind that because he hated the Ninevites. So he wanted God to destroy them. Well, what happened is they repented. Every last one of them. From the top of the government to the lowest person in the community. And the story about Jonah says that after they repented and he saw that God did not destroy them, he actually asked God to kill him because he was so frustrated. Can you imagine? Did you know that Moses also asked God to take his life? In the 11th chapter of Numbers, and I'm not going to those verses, but I'll just tell you about it. We read about how the Israelites began complaining about their situation in the wilderness. God heard their complaints, which angered the Lord to the point of one point, he sent fire down on the camp and actually destroyed some of the people. But then the people started screaming at Moses for help. Well, the Israelites didn't learn their lesson, and they continued to complain to Moses. specifically about their freedom in the wilderness, which they didn't like, apparently, compared to their slavery in Egypt, which was horrible. Well, eventually the Lord and Moses became angry again with the people. But then Moses got so frustrated with the Lord that he said this, and this is actually from a verse in Numbers. Moses says to God, "Why are you treating me so harshly? What did I deserve? What did I do to deserve the burden of these people?" He told God he couldn't take it any longer. And then he said this, quote, "If this is how you're going to treat me, just go ahead and kill me." Another person, David, King David, David and Goliath, he became angry with God after his friend Uzzah was struck dead while carrying the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was never to be touched by anyone, not even a priest. And if someone even accidentally touched them, they were struck dead, and that's what happened. And David was furious at God for doing that. After a great victory, Elijah became disheartened and asked God to take his life. It was after fleeing the death threats of Queen Jezebel that he was left emotionally exhausted and feeling like a failure. In fact, Elijah prayed saying this, "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life." I bet you had no idea that some of these people that you've known in the Bible for a long time got to the point where they just couldn't take it anymore. So that line in the song, "I shook my fist at heaven for all the hell I've been through," did not originate with T. Graham Brown. Many people have felt the same way. People in the Bible, maybe people here today. Someone might feel angry at God because of something that they have gone through or something that you're going through even right now. Well, I want you to just know this. You may not love God right now, but he has never stopped loving you. We live in a fallen world where sin causes all the problems. Don't blame it on the bottle. Don't blame it on the person. Don't blame it on what you see on a screen on your computer. Blame it on Satan. We should be putting our fist up and shaking it to Satan, not to God. Well, let me finish up with this. And then we have a special closing today. I'll give you your blessing, but Roy also has a special blessing to give us to close out our service today. So with the last thoughts from me, obviously this song is about addiction to alcohol, but I didn't want this message to be just about alcohol. In other words, the lyrics could be changed to include any addiction. I've got addictions. I've had addictions. They just don't happen to be to alcohol. So for you and me, is there something in your life you can't control? I've already mentioned alcohol, but there are things in our world like drugs, sex, gambling, food, money, pride, lying, cheating, gossiping. Do I need to go on? No, I don't, because there are many things we could choose from, and we could listen to that song and just plug it in for our thing that we need God to help us overcome. So, if you are spiraling down, or you know someone who is, pray to God for help. Pray that they will ask God for help. And don't let this be a prayer of, "I'm sorry I got caught," but let this be a prayer of repentance. And just real quickly, you remember how I describe what repentance is. It's turning from sin and turning to God. It's not one or the other. It's got to be both, or it's not true repentance. If we just turn from sin, challenged by God. We're going to be condemned by God. Not condemned. There's going to be obstacles that God's going to put in our way to get us to stop that sin. And if we don't turn from sin and just trust God, it's just going to be bad for our life if we I think I've said it enough. Turn from sin and turn to God. That's repentance. And here's the last thing I'll say, and then Roy will give us a final blessing. If God, and we know He can, if God can turn water into wine, then He can turn your life into something amazing. No matter what it is you need to turn from. And I thank Him for that. Heavenly Father, as we wait for our final blessing from Roy, I just pray that you would personalize this message to each one of us as to what we need to turn from, or to be thankful for the turning we've already made in days, years, decades past, and now we are in a good relationship with you. And that sin is no longer there because you've already turned things around for us in our life. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for what you're doing for us now and even in the future. We pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we close our worship service together and we bring 20